Good evening, everyone. You guys aren't cold, are you? Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. We'll finish this chapter together tonight here on the lawn. We want to keep going here outside, but obviously the temperatures are dropping. Nonetheless, thank the Lord. I mean, it was in the 60s today, the middle of October, a beautiful sunny day. The problem is the sun goes down quickly at this time of year. But how blessed we are just to have this chance. It could be our last Wednesday out on the lawn. We don't know. It depends on what the weather does. But we figured we would go out with a bang, that we would have like a celebratory evening. We're going to have communion. And we're just so thankful. I'm just so thankful to pastor a church where you guys will come and bundle up with blankets and jackets, and that you just love to hear God's word and to worship him. I think it's amazing just to be a part of what the Holy Spirit's doing here. And I don't want to like start any fights or anything, but I think that when we get to heaven, we'll be some of the toughest bunch of Christians that are there. Those Southern Christians won't be able to hang with us. Certainly we'll have more territory in the millennial reign. Don't quote that as doctrine, just my own perspective. We are in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. We'll begin our reading tonight in verse 31. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, we have this awesome screen. It's really nice to follow along on. With a dark sky, it just makes the words illuminate all the more. And by the way, how amazing was that just to sing that song in the open air like this? Like you could just look up. I had to step up to the platform and just look at the stars. And well, there's not really any stars right now. But just look at the sky and just envision what it will be when he calls us. And I don't know where you're at with Jesus tonight, but it's going to be a tremendous day when he calls us and we put a face with the name. And it says this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 31. It says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they," verse 32, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hands upon him. And he, Jesus, verse 33, took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Verse 35, and straightway this man, who we don't know his name, straightway his ears were opened, and it says the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And Jesus charged them, verse 36, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. So they listened like we do. Not very well. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He make both the deaf to hear, and he makes the dumb to speak. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for barely any breeze. Thank you that there's no rain, snow, God, that we can be here. I pray that the coldness would not distract us, that our limbs going numb would not distract us. Lord, that our focus would be upon you. I pray for an authority from heaven, an unction to speak with such clarity and anointing that nobody, Lord, would even be able to, even if they want to daydream and be distracted. Lord, I pray that your voice that rises from the pages of your word would permeate the depths of our hearts, and that Jesus, you would touch us, draw us to yourself, prepare us to come to your table and to sup with you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for long-suffering and compassion. Thank you that when we wake up tomorrow, your mercies start all over. Thank you, Lord, that all of your thoughts toward us are for good and not for evil. If we could see the stars tonight, Lord, more than the stars in the sky are your thoughts toward us. And they're all good. Thank you that you're not a vindictive God. Thank you, Lord, that you're not out to get us. Thank you that you love us and you want to woo us to yourself. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would do that through the power of your word and the ministry of the precious Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hop over with me real quick, if it's easy for you, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 29. If you don't want to come, jot it down, look at it later. This is the same story, just different way Matthew gives it to us than Mark, who would have received it from Peter. I want to sort of supplement the details here. It says, Jesus departed, verse 29, Matthew 15. Jesus departed from thence, and he came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and he went into a mountain and sat down there. So already we get some detail that Mark doesn't give us. Jesus is sitting. Picture the scene. And it says, great multitudes, not just a they with a him, but great multitudes. Mark hones in on a they with a him. Matthew says, this is multitudes of people. We got a little bit of a multitude here tonight, but I think the multitudes there was even greater. Multitudes of people came to Jesus, and they had with them those that were lame, those that were blind, those that were dumb, those that were maimed. That's speaking of those who were experienced mutilation. They were missing limbs and body parts. It almost seems like a horror movie. You picture the scene here. Jesus is sitting. He's on tour with his guys, ministering. He's taking the scenic route back to Jerusalem. He's taking opportunity to pour into them, to teach them what it is to be the servant of all, how to minister to people, how to love people. He's putting it on display for them to watch and see. In the process, they think that they're having a little break, that they're sitting down to rest. Multitudes of people come. Jesus is famous in this area for the works that he has done. The first missionary to this area was the demoniac that Jesus set free, that he delivered. I think it was back in chapter 5 or so that we studied him. The man who had legion. He sent him back home. He said, tell everybody. And these people had heard of the works, the ministry of Jesus. They're coming to him with deaf people, blind people, tongue-tied people, people who had limbs missing. And it tells us this, that as many as were cast down at the feet of Jesus, he healed them. The Greek is, as they're throwing him to the feet of Jesus, he's healing them. Imagine the scene. People are just getting dumped at the feet of Jesus, and he is healing them left and right. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see. And what did they do? They're Gentiles. We know that by this closing part of verse 31. They glorified the God of Israel. Bunch of Gentiles glorifying the God of Israel. Now hop back with me to Mark chapter 7. That's where we'll stay now. Mark hones in on a man. He tells us of a they and a him. We don't know who they are. We can only assume that they're friends and family, right? A bunch of people who love this guy, whoever he is, so much so that they bring him to Jesus. Now, this memory made such a print in Peter's mind that when the Holy Spirit was working in Mark's life to pen these things, Peter said, include this detail. This is one of three stories that only Mark gives to us. Y'all got that? One of only three stories that only Mark gives to us. We don't have these details anywhere else. And I praise God for this story tonight. I thank Jesus. I love these one-on-ones that he does with individuals. He always does that. He hones in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of a great group, with the most broken, with the person who's in pain the greatest that's among him. He hones in on that individual and he ministers to them. I love this story. Peter loved this story. The Holy Spirit loved this story. Mark writes it down for us. He says, as all of these people are coming to Jesus, being thrown at his feet, all of a sudden, as they make their way down from Tyre and Sidon, he comes to the Sea of Galilee. So he goes north to go south. I mean, like I told you, he's going like in the circumference. He's going up and then down and around. He's making his way back down to the Galilee region around the lake there. And he's in the midst of this Grecian, Roman culture city, this group of cities, Decapolis, the first part of the word deca means 10, polis means city. It's these Grecian, Roman influenced cities that are pagan by nature, that are Gentile. They are not under the God of Israel, but they've heard about him. They heard about him. And so all of these people are thronging him. They're coming to him for his touch, for his help. And as this is happening, there's this group of people that brings their friend unto Jesus. Listen to me, please. Every single one of you that are here tonight, you could at the least do this if you're a lover of Jesus. Bring people to Jesus. You don't bring people to the tent service. You don't bring people to the inside sanctuary. You don't bring people to Calvary Chapel. You bring people to the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's Jesus who has what we need. It's Jesus who has what you need. It's Jesus who has what you're looking for. It's Jesus who has what you're longing for, whether you realize it or not. In Jesus is everything that satisfies the human soul. In Christ alone. I'm going to scream it in a second. I want everybody in Ogden and Spencerport to hear. It's in Christ alone. That's where we find our satisfaction. That's where we find the touch that our weary souls long for. In Christ alone, from Christ alone. And these Gentile people, they hear about Jesus. They say, we got to get our friend to Jesus, because think about it. He's deaf and he can't speak. He couldn't say to these guys, I want to go to Jesus. He never heard Jesus. He was dependent upon their perseverance, their faithfulness to bring him to Jesus. And everybody needs a friend like that. Be that friend. Be that friend that hounds your friends about Jesus. Be that friend who continuously, relentlessly says, hey, do you want to go to church? Can I buy you breakfast on Sunday and then we'll go to church? Be that friend that just be that friend where it just becomes what everybody says about you. Oh, they're Jesus thumpers. They're going to always just tell me, go to Jesus, go to Jesus. That's an amazing thing to have said of you when it's all said and done. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet born among women, what'd he do? Point people to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus. So they bring him to Jesus. I could spend the evening there, but I won't. This guy is deaf and he had an impediment in his speech. That's the only time that phrase is used in all of the New Testament. And it's used only one other time in the Old Testament in Isaiah 35 in the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation, this phrase is used in Isaiah 35 of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It speaks of somebody who spoke harshly. It speaks of somebody who spoke with a thick voice, if you would. You can't understand them. In fact, there would be no language that they spoke because they've never been able to hear language spoken before. This is the guy that is brought. I would love to take you to Isaiah 35, by the way. I know you're cold and I don't want to lose your attention. So you go check out Isaiah 35. It's a messianic prophecy. You got to love the Bible, you guys. You got to love how it all connects. It's not just like, oh my goodness, it was used one other time and it was only used of Jesus in the ministry that he'd have. That is not coincidental. That is fulfillment of your Savior King, Jesus Christ. Thank you, ma'am. We need more of you guys, amen, and praising God up in here. This is supposed to be a time where we are thanking Jesus and blessing his name, excited about him. That was like a freebie. Amen? So, this man is deaf. He has an impediment in his speech. And they beg, the friends beg Jesus to put his hand upon him. Interesting. Let's touch him. And Jesus does what Jesus does in verse 33. Listen, he's going to do it with some of you right now. And it isn't even going to be a physical thing. It isn't even going to be a bodily thing necessarily. No one else in the whole place will maybe even know that it's happening. But he does this all of the time. Look what he does here in verse 33. He took him aside. How did that go, by the way? I know you're cold, but can you think about this for a second? How did that go? He's deaf. He can't hear. And his tongue is tied completely. It's not loosened to speak. How did this go? How did Jesus connect with this man? There are multitudes of people there. The man has to rely heavily on his eyesight, right? Because he can't hear and he can't speak, so he's only observing what's going on. And Jesus goes to this individual. Thank God for Mark. Matthew doesn't tell us. And he somehow or another connects with this man in such a way where he is able to take him aside. How crazy. He takes, listen, and don't get it twisted here. The language demands that Jesus not only took him aside, but can I give it to you like this? Jesus took him unto himself. That's the Greek. He took him unto himself, it says in verse 33, from the multitude. And I wonder what's going on in this man's person as Jesus somehow motions to him and draws him to the side. And as he gets him to the side, he does something that at the onset in the English, it seems so weird, doesn't it? Can we just be honest? It says that he puts his fingers in his ears and he spits and then he touches his tongue. Y'all didn't just read that. Like, okay, keep going, Pastor. What we got next? Like, right? Like, none of you think that, imagine if I called you up and I just, and the way, and if you don't understand Jesus here and you don't know scripture, you might think that like Jesus like jammed and that's not what, here's what happened. Jesus spoke to him in his language. I'm going to suggest to you that Jesus signed with this guy. He calls him to the side. I got to believe that there was some panic in this man's face. I got to believe that there was some, I'm a little apprehensive here. I'm not quite sure my friends brought me. He can't communicate it. It's all in his heart. Jesus can see this. And I believe, you do what you want with this. I believe after study that Jesus, as he has him alone off to the side, he must have began to sign to him. Speak this man's heart language to him. He doesn't have a language. He doesn't have Aramaic. He doesn't have Greek. He doesn't have Hebrew. He doesn't have any of these tongues. He's never heard before, and his tongue is tied. He couldn't speak even if he could understand. And Jesus does something where this man understands what he's doing because he stays put as Jesus does it to him. Somebody does something to you that doesn't make sense, like sticking their fingers in the ear and spitting and touching your tongue. You're not going to just stand there and take that. Something is happening in this man's spirit where Jesus is reaching him in a way that only Jesus can. So I think it looked like this. He calls him aside, and I think he must have went like this. And the man perhaps, gave it back to him, like, yes. And I think Jesus gently put his fingers to his ears. Then it tells us that he spit, but the language is he spit and then it was over. It's not he spit in this man's mouth. Don't make this gross. There's a spitting here to point to his mouth, perhaps. Think this through. And the man who's desperate, perhaps shaking. Listen, you got to understand the culture. I'm skipping so much to get to it. They would label a person like this that was deaf and an impediment speech that couldn't speak. They would label this person as demon-possessed, not just Jews, Gentiles too. And they would oust him because of the sounds that they would make and the noise they make because they couldn't speak. This man is not used to kindness. If you touch a person like this, you are unclean. We know how Jesus feels about touching unclean people, don't we? I think he was so amazingly compassionate and gentle. After he perhaps touched this man's ears, the language is he spat. When he spat, the spit was done. And then I think he maybe put his hand on the man's chin, touched his tongue. Because this is what Jesus does. He speaks to us our heart languages. He speaks to us in a way where maybe everybody else thinks, what is going on? Even maybe laughing. You don't think people were laughing? If I called somebody up right now and I started to do these things, you would laugh, some of you. You that aren't suffering, you that aren't in the thick of it right now, you that can hear wonderfully, you that could speak wonderfully, and you've always been able to, there's an immaturity, even in adults, that we would laugh, some of us. And I'm sure that that was the case, but this man wasn't laughing. This man knew that Jesus knew. You know what I'm saying? You know what it's like when Jesus knows, and you know that Jesus knows, and there's this connection that is made. There's this intimacy that is birthed through the separation from the crowd. There's this intimacy that is experienced with this privacy with Jesus, this one-on-oneness with Jesus. Some of you, he wants to do that with right now. There's a crowd of people. And the most of us are just here to take communion. The most of us are just here to sing some songs to the Lord, enjoy fellowship, let the kids burn some energy, and on with it we go, because it's just another Wednesday. But there are others who are dying inside, and they're not going to make it. It's just the reality of human experience. And because somebody brought you, you are here. It doesn't matter who brought you. You are here. And now that you are here, Jesus has honed in. You didn't even understand the word. You had no clue where I was going at the start of this message. But somehow, at this point, the Lord is making it connect with you. He's speaking to you, your heart's language, and he's calling you aside, and he's saying this to you: I know your pain. Is this what's going on? And then, is this what's going on? And he does that to our hearts right now. He's speaking to people's hearts. This is what's going on. This is what's troubling you. This is what, for the most people, this is a Jesus parade. Everybody's stoked. It's like a carnival. But you and I, it's like time stands still. It's like no one else is in the room right now, but just you and me. He signs to him. Come on, is that not precious? He signs to this man. He speaks to him the language of his heart. There's this thought language. What does the psalmist tell us? While my thoughts are far off, you know them, Lord. Before they're formed, God, all the days of my life are fashioned before even one is had. You don't think that God can speak to somebody through just touching the ear and the tongue? Absolutely can. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intent of your heart. You don't even know the intent of your heart. I don't even know the motivation of my heart. The Lord, he drops to that level and he says, I understand, I hear. And then he does something that blows me away. I could do a whole Bible study on what's next. After he puts his finger into his ear and he spits and he touches his tongue, he looks up to heaven and he sighs. You know how powerful that is? He sighs, it tells us. This guy's got heightened vision. He can't hear and he can't speak, but he would understand a sigh. He's probably sighed 1,000 times. To be deaf and unable to speak and communicate, you know how frustrating that would be? And Jesus does this thing here, the dramatic, for the visual, for the eyesight of this man. He's in front of him, and all of a sudden, he just lets out a, there's just this sigh. He sighed at Lazarus' grave. He sighs. You know what a sigh is? It's, I feel you. You know what a sigh is? You don't always have to hear theology. You Christians, and this is good when you're ministering to somebody who's suffering. You don't always have to be a Bible expert. You don't always have to give somebody more scripture upon scripture. Sometimes people just need you to sigh with them. Sometimes people just need you to cry with them. The Bible says that he sighs, that he groans. The Holy Spirit groans, and he takes our groanings, and he makes utterances with them and turns it into prayer. Do you know something tonight? Some of you thought you were coming here. You're going to get a Bible lash, and you thought God was mad at you. You thought you were going to get a bunch of conviction and condemnation. And you know what the Lord says to you tonight? Nope, not at all. I want to side with you because I know your heart is so broken. I'm not even going to speak to you. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is not what it was supposed to be. This is a fallen creation, a fallen world. This infirmity was never intended by me for any man to have, where you have to go through life not being able to speak and communicate and hear how painful this is. And my heart breaks that your heart breaks. And he just lets out this exclamation. He just lets this exhale out. And he just sighs with me. You know what that must have done to that man in that moment? He sighed. You know that Jesus is sighing with some of you tonight? Some of you got some serious stuff going on, and other Christians would say, get over it. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But you know what Jesus Christ does? He's our high priest who pities us, who has compassion upon us, who has sympathy. He's experienced all temptations as we have, yet without sin. You're here tonight without your spouse because they don't want to go to church. They don't want to pursue God. He sighs with you. You're here tonight, man, and you got a prodigal at home. And other Christians are telling you that we all got our trials and stay faithful on your knees and start fasting. Maybe God will answer your prayer. He sighs with you. You got a marriage issue going on. You got an addiction. You got something going on where everybody else would be harsh with you over. Jesus, he sighs with you. I don't know. I could just spend some time there. An expression of sympathy, an expression of compassion, a grief expressed through body language. of this man's pain? How about a tenderness? Y'all, you know what being tender is? Just be tender with people. But I think it's also this: God's about to come down in power and in compassion, just like he's going to do for some of you right now. He's going to come down in power and in compassion, because after he sighs, after he lets out this breath, it says that he says, Ephatha. Listen, that is Aramaic. That was the exact word that Jesus spoke, which is, it's not just be open. It's actually be completely open, his ears. And straightway, his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loosed, literally unbound. He was tongue-tied, never able to speak. It's loosed. It's like when chains come off of a criminal and the shackles fall and they're set free. The man's tongue was set free and his ears are completely open. And listen to the detail that Mark gives to us at the end of verse 35. He spake plain. You know what that means? He spoke eloquently. He spoke articulately. He spoke distinctly. He spoke a language. He didn't have to go to hearing impaired school and learn how to speak. He never heard language before. He doesn't have a dialect. You know that a child, by the time that he's 3 years old, can speak usually by an average some 600 words. All of John's gospel, that's the amount of different words that he would use. This is a grown man. You think about your children and how much they're able to speak. The language that they're able to speak by watching you, by hearing you, by observing you. So much of that is caught by a kid. Dad eats a bowl of panda paws. And he makes noises, as he's eating it. And what does the little boy do that's watching his dad that doesn't know? He starts, and he mimics his dad. Dad gets mad at traffic because the guy in front of him won't go the speed limit and he's in the passing lane. Just things I hear from other people. And he expressed frustration. What does the child do? He expresses frustration. So much of language, behavior, it's observed, it's caught, more is caught than taught. This guy never had any of it, and he starts to speak plainly. He just learned language from the Word who speaks in grace and truth. Crazy. He imparts to him this idiomatic language, and the man can speak. His ears are open. And Jesus does something that's like, come on, Jesus, really? He charges him in verse 36 that he could tell no man. This guy's never been able to speak. Now he can speak. He's got something to say, and Jesus says, don't say anything. Tells us to tell everybody, we tell nobody. Tells them to tell nobody, they tell everybody. He says, don't tell anybody. But the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. You know what that is? It's this. Everything he's ever done, this is the tenses, everything he's ever done, he's done perfectly. And it's in regard to his miracles. It's all the people that can hear now, all the people that can walk now, all the people that can speak now, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's instantaneous and it's perfect. All the people that were sick, he perfectly heals. He makes the speechless speak. He makes the deaf, he makes their ear, the eardrum and all that goes to that. He opens it up so people can hear. This is the God that we serve. He has done all things well. Listen, that'll preach. That's a whole nother thing, you Bible lovers, that you can go and do a study on. He has done all things well. And that includes you and I tonight. He is going to be faithful to the good work that he has started. And let me say something to you, for those of you who are wondering, is it even worth it? It is worth it. And it is a good work. He who has called you to the good work, he will be faithful to complete it in you. He's going to perfect you. You're not even going to get in the way of it. He's done everything well, including saving you. He's done everything well. He's going to make sure that he gets you all the way home. He does all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And that's what they're observing, right? That's what they're observing, because that's what they can see. That's what they can experience. That they're able to hear this man that couldn't speak, this man that was speechless. Now they can understand him. There's this conversation, and that's what they're able to experience. But this man, he's experienced so much more with Jesus that I think we don't even know the half of. We just got a little bit right here that Peter said, Mark, write these things down. This is our Lord. Made sure that he went the scenic route. Went all the way up to come down. Doesn't make sense to the human mind. Scholars say, well, he wanted to pour into his apostles. Those are the guys he's handed the keys of the kingdom to. Of course, partly. But there was a man, just like there was a woman at the well. This is what Jesus does. He goes and he meets. Who's hurting the worst? Come on. Who's hurting the worst? Kids are having a blast. They're not really hurting. Some of you are just cold. You just want your communion now. We're going to give it to you. Some of you are just, you know, you're thankful for the atmosphere. This is great. But some of you, you can't move. You're arrested in your spot. And you're the one, man. You're the one that we did this for. I was out here studying this afternoon, just enjoying the air, watching these guys. They're like ants, setting up the camera for whoever's going to watch this service. Some of you are going to have to hear this tomorrow. This is for you. Setting up this screen. I don't know if you realize what goes into these things. Running these cables, setting up the chair, putting up the tiki torches, putting together bonfire pits, setting up all of the sound equipment. It's all for you. We threw a party for you. Because we know that it would take this, a multitude, for you to come and to feel comfortable. And Jesus says, now is my chance. I'm eating with everybody, but I'm honing in on somebody. And he signs to us because he's tender. And he serves us. We're going to serve you communion. Some of the staff's going to come and pass it to you right now. If you don't want it, you could just, if your heart's hard and you're not in the mood, just, we have no other way to get it to everybody. So we're going to just come around with baskets and hand it to you. If you don't want it, seriously, no one's going to see because they're going to come around in front of all of you. Just pass them on. If you're not a believer, then you should definitely not partake. But if you're a believer in Christ, you love Jesus, it doesn't matter your state. Don't let the devil in your ear and tell you, oh, you aren't clean enough. This is how we get clean. This isn't a worthiness thing, man. This is the Lord's Supper. But he's not sitting at this one. He's washing feet. He's ministering. He's looking you in the eyes, and he's meeting with you in a way that I can't, the way that Daniel and these guys can't. None of us can meet with you the way that he can meet with you. So you go ahead and just hang with the Lord and spend it. Let him hone in. Let him take this now and penetrate it as he needs to, personally. And then when everybody has communion, when I see that these guys get it all passed out, we'll partake together.
And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree. And
bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Yeah, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. We are His portion and He is our prize. We're drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If His grace is an ocean, we're all seeking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss in my heart. Following inside of my chest, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Just You and me here now. Only You and me here now. It's just You and me here now. Only You and me here now. It's just You and me. I will bow down
Pour me, you and me, in now. It's just you and me, in now. Pour me, you and me, in now.
You're supposed to see yourself in this story tonight. Jesus has done the very same thing for each of us spiritually. He's opened our ears. He's caused us to be able to speak this heavenly dialect, this language of the Spirit, where His Word makes sense. Before you're saved, you can't understand God's Word. Maybe intellectually, but not spiritually. The Lord has done this with us. He's opened our ears. He's opened our hearts. He's allowed us to have this communion, this relationship with Him, which is what these elements speak of. And listen, we go through these seasons where He's got to touch us again. But when He touches us, it's with a nail-pierced hand. When He touches us, it's with wounds of love that will never be put away, that will always be there for all of eternity. He touches us with that mercy and that grace, that type of a touch. And we go through these seasons where He's got to touch us and He's got to speak to us. Listen, it tells us this in Isaiah chapter 50. It says of Jesus, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, that's faint or fatigued. He waketh morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." This is Jesus. This is His testimony. This is what the Father has done with me. He's caused me to learn how to speak. He wakes my ear morning to morning so that I can hear as the learned. "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And that's for us. We shouldn't turn away. He opens our ears and our hearts. Don't turn away back. It's a gift when He makes sense of something to you and He extends His forgiveness and His love. So don't be like Jesus in this. Don't turn back. Let Him open your ear. Let Him open your eyes. Let him open up this communion with you once again. He longs for it. He's saying to you, just like this man in the crowd, we don't know his name. Come on. Let it be just me and you. He went from being unable to speak to being enabled to speak to being unable to not speak of the glory of God and what had happened in his life. I pray the Holy Spirit does it with you right now. Pray sets you ablaze. If you would, pull back the first layer here of the plastic and you can pull out this wafer, this element that speaks to us of the body of Christ. Let's give Him thanks. Lord, we thank You for Your body that was broken. I think it makes so much sense. You told these people not to go tell everybody about what You did because the story wasn't complete yet. If all they had was a miracle worker, if all they had to tell of Jesus of Nazareth was the one who heals the deaf and the lame and the blind, that would only be temporal, the work that You did and could do. But the rest of the story is that You went to a cross and You died for the sins of the world. And all of the wrath of the Father and the Godhead was poured out for all of sin upon You, Jesus, the Son of God. And You became our sin for us. You bodily became our sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. That's the rest of the story. And Lord, that You overcame, that You allowed Your Spirit, You dismissed Your Spirit, and You died, but You didn't stay dead. You rose again valiantly. You burst forth out of that grave. And it's that, Lord, that we commemorate tonight. It's that we celebrate Your victory over sin and death and Satan. We thank You for the physical touch. We thank You for healings in our life's journey, Lord. We thank You for all of those fringe benefits. But Lord, our greatest need is Your greatest deed. You going to the cross and being our sin sacrifice. Thank You that You gave Your body, Lord. We celebrate that sacrificial display of love tonight here on the lawn at Calvary. God, we partake with great thanksgiving in our hearts. You can eat of the bread. You can pull back that last layer over the juice. Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed. I'm so grateful every time I read the Gospels that it was poured out from your head all the way down to your feet. It covers everything for us, God. Thoughts that we have, words that we speak, things that we look at that we should not. Our hands, God, you bled from your hands, the things that we touch, that we handle. Our hearts, God, how depraved they are. You bled from your side. Your feet, God, how we tread places, we go places that we should not go. And over and over and over again, you go after us. You deliver us. You redeem us. You restore us. You clean us. Thank you for sanctification. Holy Spirit, thank you that you bear with us. Jesus, thank you that you woo us, just like you did this man from Decapolis. We thank you so much for your amazing love. We thank you for this juice that speaks to us of your blood, the cleansing agent that we need for our sins. Except you would have poured out your blood, there would be no forgiveness. And so we thank you, God. We thank you for what this speaks to us. We partake of it tonight, God, thanking you that we don't have to come to you on our own merit, our own good works, God, our own achievements. We'd fall on our face every time. We thank you that it's only by your blood. It will be, Lord, our testimony to the end. The blood of the Lamb. How'd you get to heaven? The blood of the Lamb. How did you overcome? The blood of the Lamb. How did you get back into fellowship with Jesus after falling that badly? The blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Church, go ahead and partake. We pray this blesses you, Jesus, as we, Lord, celebrate you tonight. We give you thanks. We give you praise, God. We want to go about the way that these people did, this multitude did. They went away just stoked, God, on fire for you, just excited about you. They could not keep it to themselves. I pray for our Thursday and our Friday into the weekend that we could not keep you to ourselves, that we would be excited to post about this, to talk about this, to share this. When people ask us, Lord, what do? God, we were at church. Hearing of the living God and the work of Jesus Christ. Set our hearts ablaze, we pray, Lord. Put your testimony upon our lips, we ask. Keep us faithful to the end. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship him.